The late Joshua Mqabuko Nyongolo Nkomo, a son of a teacher and lay preacher of the London Missionary Society in Zimbabwe's Kezi District, Matoran South Province, was born in 1917. At the age of 35, after working as a truck driver and carpenter and getting involved in trade unionism, he was elected president of the Southern Rhodesia African National Congress, a major political party at that time. Nkomo spearheaded the liberation struggle under the National Democratic Party when the colonial regime banned the Southern Rhodesia African National Congress. When the NDP was also banned, he formed the Zimbabwe People's Union, or ZAPU. He was locked up in prison between 1964 and 1974 and managed to sneak out of the country after his release to lead the nationalist movement. Zimbabweans in all parts of the country called him Father Zimbabwe, Umtalawetu, or Our Old Man, and Chibwe Chidedza, or Slippery Rock, among many other nicknames. His name became synonymous with the aspirations of black nationalists and their followers. Following the country's independence in 1980, after a brutal liberation struggle, he was appointed cabinet minister by Prime Minister Robert Mugabe, but fell out of favor as his former ZAPU Party junior accused Nkomo of attempting to stage a coup. This resulted in the deployment of the North Korean-trained 5th Brigade in the Matabeleland and Midlands provinces, leading to the massacre of an estimated 20,000 innocent civilians, mostly Nkomo's PF ZAPU supporters. The government has never revealed the number of people who were killed by the crack unit, though Mr. Mugabe once described the massacres as a moment of madness. The then Zimbabwean Prime Minister claimed that he wanted to get rid of dissidents in the two regions using his army, commonly known as Kukurahundi. Nkomo fled the country, fearing for his life, but later returned home. The Kukurahundi massacres led to the signing of a unity agreement by the late Vice President and Mr. Mugabe in 1987. Who was Father Zimbabwe Umtalawetu or Chibwe Chidedza? Apart from being a nationalist leader, Nkomo was a married man, a father, grandfather and great-grandfather. Life was tough for the Nkomo family when he decided to decolonialize the country. His son, Sibangilizwe, still remembers the time his father was away from home. His mother, Joanna Mafuyane Nkomo, played a key role in looking after the family when Nkomo was in the guerrilla trenches.
My mother was a very, very hardworking person, a woman with imagination. You know, she would use her skills, sewing skills, cooking skills, to get some money for us to go to school. So somehow we managed. Of course, there was always the goodwill of my father's business friends who would come up, with help. Also, there was the Christian Care organization that at a later stage, during our secondary education, they helped us out.
Nkomo was highly respected in his village in St. Joseph's Mission area. Tandi Moyo of St. Anne Mission, a few kilometers from Nkomo's homestead, explains.
He was such a great man who provided wise words and wisdom to his people. And I think if people follow his footsteps, there will be peace and harmony in the world. He was a peace-loving guy and a father figure.
She says his legacy lives on despite the few achievements after independence.
As a person from Kezi, our place is underdeveloped and kids still travel long distances to school. There is a lot of improvement that needs to be done. Even the roads are pathetic.
Nkomo's brother-in-law, Lavmo Fuyane, believes that Nkomo always put his country first.
The one thing that really stands out for me as far as Dr. Joshua Nkomo is concerned is the idea of Zimbabweanness. In other words, a person that thinks of the nation first before themselves. This is really what his legacy represents, right from the time that he fought for the liberation of the country as well as the time that he served in government.
Fuyane says the late vice president's legacy should be emulated by all Zimbabweans.
We need to inculcate more this culture of Zimbabweanness and thinking about the country first before thinking ourselves. There's no better way to celebrate his legacy than that. That really is what we need to do. We need to pass that on to the younger generation so that we begin to have a lot more of a sense of self-belief in ourselves. There's no society out there that has ever been able to uplift itself without having that inner belief cutting across the entire spectrum of society.
He explains how this can be done.
There are movements out there, both inside and outside the country. I mean, I'll just give one example of a movement known as Oxflag, which is really beginning to speak to citizens standing up for their country, standing up for what the flag represents within the national spectrum in Zimbabwe.
At national level, Nkomo was regarded as a humble man despite leading an armed struggle against white domination. Sifasi Msipa, one of Nkomo's close associates in PF ZAPU, says apart from being a visionary leader, Nkomo was a peacemaker.
Nkomo was able to bring people together. He was genuine in really trying to understand people and to bring them together. And I think he will always be remembered for that. Yes, he loved peace. Although he had suffered under Mugabe, he was still prepared to work under him for the sake of peace, hence the Unity Accord. It was not easy for him to accept it, but he did it for the sake of peace. So Nkomo was a man of peace.
In our next edition, our correspondent Gandhi Maramba will be focusing on Nkomo's calls for a comprehensive land reform program in Zimbabwe. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, D.C., this is Kip Stube.